Will the clerk please call the first case?
325-0164 WC, Innovative Staffing, Appellant by Daniel Lovato versus the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission et al., Conrado Arriola, Appellee by Brenton Schmitz.
Lovato, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honors. This case, as I'm sure you're all well aware, doesn't involve, or the reason for this appeal does not involve the actual injury at question. It's one of a procedural question in this matter. At arbitration, the employee was awarded certain medical and surgeries, which again are sort of irrelevant at this point because we took that up on appeal. We appealed the matter to the Circuit Court of Kane County. The appellate documents were originally filed on September 23rd, which was 19 days after the commission's decision was received. A few days thereafter, Kane County rejected the appellate documents. However, the reason for rejecting the appellate documents to the circuit court was that there was no issue materially with these documents. However, the filing attorney's ARDC number was not properly registered with Kane County. Again, it had nothing to do with the timing of what was filed or the material aspects of what was filed. Based on
Well,
this,
I
they were
think,
then
are you
accepted a
off
few
on
days
days?
later on October 10th.
Hello, Mr. Lovato? You there?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Are you off on the days? When was the deadline day?
To file it would have been September 24th.
Oh, okay. The deadline day, how do you figure that day?
It's based on the Illinois Workers' Comp statute, which allows for 20 days from receipt of the commission's decision to file a review in circuit court. So 20 days after September 4th would have been September 24th.
Okay, so there's no dispute between you and opposing counsel on that as being the deadline day?
Not that I'm aware, Your Honor.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Yes. And so to sort of pick up where I left off again, as Your Honor just pointed out, there is no dispute when these were originally filed that they were originally filed in the granted 20 days under Section 19F1 of the Workers' Comp Act. However, because they weren't accepted, and again, the reason that they were rejected is nothing materially wrong with them other than the ARDC number not being.
Mr. Lovato, this your case sounds like the poster child for Rule 9D, Illinois Supreme Court Rule 9D, but you never filed a motion under that rule.
No, Your Honor, we did not. We believed that if as long as we had just registered my ARDC number, the date of our filings would have been held and accepted. We did not file a 19D. You're correct, Your Honor.
Would you be able to?
Your Honor, at the moment right now, since we are on appeal on the issue, I am not sure if we'd be able to file a 19D at the present moment.
Okay, so 19D, you're back into Supreme Court rule territory, am I correct?
You're correct, Your Honor. It's
Yeah.
Rule 990, not 19D.
Yeah.
Excuse me, 90.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. And what authority is there for the Supreme Court rule 90 to be even applicable to a review before the circuit court from an agency such
Your
as the
Honor,
commission?
I would have to look. I believe because we're on a appeal for a different issue that it wouldn't be applicable currently. I would have to look into authority for that. I again, since we hadn't filed a 9D, to be completely honest with you, I haven't
Well, isn't the authority to have review by the circuit court created in the statute?
Yes, Your Honor, but the
And doesn't
authority.
the statute say you have 20 days if you want to seek an appeal before the circuit court?
It does, Your Honor. I believe that you would be correct. However, even if that was the proper avenue, we still would have been within the 20 days, based on our original filings that were filed on September 23rd.
Okay.
And I believe it's again Section 19F1 of the Comp Act is what provides the administration decision from the commission up to circuit court, which is also 20 days, Your Honor.
Do you have any idea why it's 20 days in the Supreme Court rule, or not Supreme Court rules, the commission rules?
Why it's 20 days, I couldn't tell you why. If you want me to make my best educated guess, I could certainly do that.
Yes.
I believe that it's because they seek to have these things, since it's already gone through an arbitrator as well as a panel of commissioners, they would like to have these done in a timely fashion. And 20 days is relatively timely compared to certain other statutes. Like, for off the top of my head, I know for a breach of contract, you can file that within 5 years of the contract.
Basically, a general jurisdiction of court.
Correct, Honor.
Okay. Not never known for particular timeliness.
Sorry, what was that? You broke up for a
Never
second.
known, editing, I'm giving an opinion. Never known for particular timeliness in resolving disputes. Okay. That your educated best guess seems right on the point.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you have another question, or should
No,
I
I don't.
proceed?
Continue on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And again, so what happened is,
Lovato, let me ask you this. You haven't invoked Rule 9D, but you're asking for some grace here. And so what's your argument about why we should grant you some grace?
because I believe it was one wrongly dismissed based on case law and statutory law, and also the
But that's the
Supreme
merits, right? I mean, that's the
the, yeah,
merits.
and I was getting there because I believe this matter is one that should be in the Supreme Court has actually directed this in the case Jones, that cases such as this should be allowed to be, they favor it being decided on the merits rather than a narrow technical ground. And what the circuit court did here was actually dismiss it on a narrow technical ground rather than allowing it to be heard on the merits. In fact, they also discussed
Well, but I mean, if that was the rationale, then any late filed appeal would be allowed to proceed so we could reach the merits. I mean, as you recognize, there's tremendous value in the law, the concept of finality, right?
Right, and Your Honor, and again, I don't believe this was a late filing. It was rejected because of an odd quirk at Kane County that road was required my ARDC number to be registered, which we had no way of knowing prior to that because I had never filed an appeal at Kane County.
You ever look for the local rules?
I don't believe it was in the local rules.
Okay, so
I would have
you
to look, but
examine
no, Your
those.
Honor.
It's not in the local rules that if you're in a Kane County court, you have to register your ARDC number.
Your Honor, I cannot represent to you whether I know that to be the case or not.
Okay.
However, again, I believe if you look at and I cited case law in my brief that talks about how the word commence as it's put in 19F1 is sort of an ambiguous term under Gruszeczka as well as Jones. It discusses how the what really commences it is a case of notice, and that notice being given was I'm sorry for stumbling over my words a little bit here. I want to make sure that I am quoting it right. Is that it's based on the request for summons for appeal, which again was filed within that 20 days. It just wasn't accepted by King County because of that odd quirk in my ARDC number. That constitutes notice, which opposed Mr. Schmitz and the employee plainly admit they had noticed that we were going to appeal this within the 20 days. Both
Mr.
Gruszeczka
Lovato,
and
you filed 36 days after receiving the decision. I mean, this isn't even close.
36 days after, Your Honor. Again, we filed on September 23rd. It was refiled after we became aware that it had been rejected because of the ARDC th issue. That was when it was refiled. It was originally filed on September 23rd, which again, the employee plainly admits that and plainly admits that he had received the notice to on that day that would have been within the original 20-day jurisdictional term limits. So I do understand the
So when did you
36-day.
have it? How many days from your awareness that, you're how many days till you actually got a decent or correct filing before the Kane County Court?
As soon as we became aware that that's why it was not filed, that we rectified it as soon as we could. The issue, Your Honor, was that Kane County actually didn't even notify us until 4 days after. And the way they notify it, I never properly was notified because it was an email that came to my junk email. And then after we were trying to contact them and wondering why we haven't got confirmation that all this was filed. And when we were able to get them on the phone, that was when we found out what the issue was, and we moved as quickly as we could to rectify it thereafter.
Okay.
I mean, most lawyers might want to give them a call the next day, say, "Hey, I didn't get a confirmation of filing. What's going on?"
And Your Honor, I think that's a thing that I certainly will do going forward here. It didn't occur to me because we had filed similar appeals in, for example, Cook County and never had an issue based on,
Well, you
what I
weren't in
think.
Cook County anymore, were you?
I was not in Cook County. That is correct, Your
Yeah. How
Honor.
many counties are there in Illinois, if you know?
I would have to look that up, but I know it's quite a few.
How about 102?
I was going to guess it was around 100. I believe that sounds right, Your Honor.
Okay. And if you're outside of the county you practice in, consulting local rules, although you said it wasn't in a local rule.
I did not say it was in
Oh,
local rule. I
okay.
said I couldn't represent to you whether I know it is or is not in the local rules, Your
Yeah,
Honor.
it's
I have to look at that.
I very best practice when you're no longer in your hometown, you find out what the rules are outside of your hometown.
Yes, Your Honor. I agree, and that was oversight on our part that we should have. And if it was in the local rules, which again I can't represent to you whether it is or is not, I'm sure we would have seen that. However,
But
we
you can't use an argument that, well, in my county it doesn't work that way.
no, Your Honor. That wasn't. I'm not trying to base my argument on that. I was just trying to respond to Justice Taylor's question about why we initially did not call the following day.
Okay. Thank you.
Counsel, this is a small point in it, but I just want to try to flesh it out with you. You've argued that at times you've stated that it was filed, but it needed this amendment, which was the ARDC number. You keep using the term filed, but it really isn't filed until the clerk accepts it as filed. I mean, I know that's obvious, but how are you arguing that? What, give me some more information.
Well, sure, Your Honor. And again, I want to be clear. The issue wasn't that my ARDC number wasn't on the filings. It was on the filings. The issue was that the IRDC number,
Pre-registration. Pre-registration.
correct, Your Honor. And so, as to your point, as I discussed in my brief, the word commence as it relates to 19F1 of the statute. Discusses how it's ambiguous and it's a question of notice and whether there's prejudice to the employee. Because the employee has one conceded that he had noticed that we were filing and conceded that we at least, if you want to say, attempted to properly file on September 23rd, that is why I consider that to be the proper day. And again, it's not anything materially wrong. It's sort of an odd quirk, and had I been required to file it in person rather than online, I'm sure I would have registered myself, that day while I was there. I know that's not an excuse, but I believe it goes towards the idea of prejudice. And in fact, the employee has never even once alleged that he's being prejudiced in this situation if we were allowed to proceed on the merits rather than this narrow technical ground. Thank
Why I said to you, why are we using this word narrow technical ground all the
you.
time?
That's how it appears in the case of Jones, the Supreme Court case. And so I believe that the Supreme Court uses it. I tend to believe it may be important verbiage that I would like to use as well. So
Yeah.
Mr. Lovato, following up on that,
what do you think is the rationale or purpose behind the requirement of the clerk that an attorney register with the clerk? Do you have any idea of what the rationale might be for that?
Again, Your Honor, I couldn't tell you for certain. If I had to, again, sort of use my best educated guess, I would imagine that the King County uses it as sort of a way to ensure that, one, it's an attorney who's authorized to practice law, and two, that it's an attorney that's authorized to practice law within the state of Illinois, and three, to ensure that it is the same, or this person is lawfully representing the client they say they are. That is what I would take my best educated guess as to be the requirement for.
Yeah, sounds right to me.
Could it possibly be that, and again, there's 102 counties, and unfortunately, there was never anything uniform in requiring from the Supreme Court that every county have the same software program.
That certainly
Okay.
could be
And
as well.
that it's a software program requirement for the subsequent processing of your filing.
That could be, Your Honor, but I would imagine if it was a software requirement that while we were attempting to file them, they would have required me to put in my IRDC number and it would have said, oh, this isn't registered. I believe if that would have been the software requirement. However, again, because that wasn't the situation we were in, I can't tell you for certain.
Yeah, we are asking speculation for the purpose. We understand. Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to answer.
Okay, Mr. Lovato, your red light is on. Your time is up. Do you have a one statement summary?
Your
You
Honor, I
will have time
don't.
in rebuttal.
Yeah, I'll reserve for rebuttal. I think we've fleshed out the issues and questions enough, and I'll pass my time to Mr. Schmitz now.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the court? Further questions? Okay. Mr. Schmitz, you may respond.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Brenton Schmitz on behalf of the appellee in this case, Conrado Arreola. I want to begin by addressing a few of the questions that were asked of the appellant during his argument. And I will note that, as we are doing these arguments electronically, I have the benefit of having a computer in front of me and being able to answer some of those questions. So no shade to the appellant in his argument. Justice Holdridge, you had asked about the deadline for commencing the circuit court review of the commission's decision. The statutory deadline is 20 days from the party's receipt of the decision of the commission. In this case, the decision was rendered on September 4th. And although in the past, the commission issued its decisions to the parties by certified mail, at all times relevant to this case, the commission issues its decision on the day that they are entered by electronic delivery through the court's e-filing system. So I don't believe there's any disagreement that September 4th is the day the parties received the commission's decision, and thus the deadline for commencing review would be September 24th. I think the parties are in agreement about that. Justice Taylor, you had asked about a 9D2 motion. Appellant did not file a 9D2 motion at the circuit court in this case, did not raise Rule 9D2.
Who
Under
raised
my
it?
understanding,
Who raised it?
the 9D2 was not raised until it was raised by the circuit court itself, sua sponte, at oral arguments. I did not raise it in my response brief at the circuit court because, of course, it was not raised in the initial brief. My understanding of the case law, primarily relying
Was
was
it
the facts.
error for the was it error for the circuit court to analyze the issue under Supreme Court Rule 9D when it's the rule that clearly applies to the fact situation and a rule that the Supreme Court enacted because there was widespread frustration among the bar for these very types of situations?
Justice Taylor, I think that's a very, very good question. And I think to answer that first, we should talk a little bit about what's happened with Illinois Supreme Court Rule 9 over the last couple of years. The bar has seen over the last, I believe, 2 years, we have seen five separate revisions to Illinois Supreme Court Rule 9 from the Supreme Court. I think that tells us the Supreme Court is grappling with, the very issue that the appellant is facing in this case, the issue of, filings being made close to a deadline, particularly commencing a review or statutes of limitation. And you know, the Supreme Court has been trying to solve that issue for us. Under the version of Rule 9D2 in effect for this case, my understanding is that relief under Rule 9D2 can be sought by any party at any point. It could be raised in a motion, or it could be raised in response to a motion to dismiss, on a showing of good cause. Under the current version of Rule 9, which is not applicable in this case, relief must be sought by the party within 5 days of the clerk's rejection of the filing, and the good cause requirement has been removed. So to get more directly to your question, Justice Taylor, I think the circuit court was correct to some extent to analyze this under Illinois Supreme Court Rule 9D2. The argument that I understand appellant is making and made at the circuit court is, rather than view this as a 9D2 question, I believe what appellant is arguing is that the definition of commence under the Gruzecka case should be extended to encompass a filing that is rejected by the clerk. It's, you know, in the Gruzecka case, the court told us, this court told us that the mailbox rule applies to the commencing of a review of a commission decision. What the Gruzecka case does not talk about and does not address is what happens if that mailed filing is rejected by the clerk. You know, in Gruzecka, the filing attorney mailed all of the appropriate documents and the appropriate amount of money to the clerk before the 20-day deadline. Those documents were received after the 20-day deadline, and they were deemed to have been filed on the date of mailing. What we
Now,
don't know for
Schmitz, is were the documents defective?
In the Gruzecka case, my understanding is the documents were not defective, which then leads to the question, what if the documents are defective? What if the appropriate filing fee is not made and the clerk then rejects the documents? Gruzecka doesn't tell us the answer to that, but I think the answer has to be that that's the risk that an attorney takes when they file documents by mail. They're taking the risk that if that's rejected and it was received after the 20-day deadline, that they're out of luck. Now, that is not an
Well,
issue that is.
would you characterize the documents filed by opposing counsel as defective, or
The
that were sent to
documents.
the clerk, not considered filed, but were sent to the clerk?
In this case, the documents themselves, I do not believe were defective. The documents that were attempted to be filed in September were identical to the documents that were ultimately filed and accepted in October. The issue was that, you know, as counsel pointed out, counsel's ARDC number was not pre-registered with Kane County, which, you know, gets back to a question that was asked by you, Justice Holdridge. Is there a local rule that requires that? And the answer to that is that that's Kane County Local Rule 2A.03, which requires an attorney to pre-register their ARDC number before e-filing. So that gets into then, I suppose, an issue that was not yet raised in this case of whether the rejection is proper, to which we look to the Illinois Supreme Court's electronic filing standards, which tell us that it is appropriate for a clerk to reject documents that are not in compliance with a local rule. So in that sense, it appears the clerk's rejection of the originally submitted documents was appropriate under the court's under the Supreme Court's electronic filing standards. So, as I understand, you know, getting back, I guess, to the question raised by Justice Taylor, I think the circuit court was trying to do the parties, I guess, a favor in analyzing this under Rule 9D2, because I think that's probably the relief that appellant would have had the best shot at. The alternative is the argument the counsel is making, which is that the holding in Gruzecka should be extended and the definition of commence should be extended to include a filing that is submitted but is rejected by the clerk. And I don't think Gruzecka goes that far. If Gruzecka goes that far, then, you know, not to be alarmist, but it seems that statutes of limitation and timing requirements for, you know, commencing reviews start to lose some of their importance and start to lose their meaning. And as we have talked about today, this morning, the Illinois Supreme Court has been grappling with this question, and the Illinois Supreme Court has amended Rule 9D2, or amended Rule 9, I should say, 5 times over the various years. If the Illinois Supreme Court was of the mind to extend the holding in Gruzecka and extend the definition of the word commence, Well, that would have been a much simpler method of resolving the issues with Rule 9D2 rather than continuing to amend it and amend it now the way they have with the 5-day requirement and no requirement for a showing of good cause. So I think the argument that the council is making here that Bruzecca should be extended and the definition of the word commence should be extended is a bridge too far. I would submit that if the clerk's office rejects a filing within the grounds that are allowed for a clerk to do so, in this case under the electronic filing standards for violation of a local rule, then an action cannot be considered commenced if the documents are rejected by the clerk, and the action cannot be considered commenced until either the documents are accepted by the clerk within the deadline or a court issues appropriate relief under Illinois Supreme Court Rule 9D2, which is not what happened here. So that takes us, I suppose, back to something we haven't talked about yet, which is the standard of review. The standard of review for dismissal of a case is de novo, but the standard of review for whether or not the circuit court was correct in allowing or denying relief under Rule 9D2 is an abuse of discretion. So which standard are we using here? Well, I think it's multiple questions. First, we have to decide if this is a request for relief under Rule 9D2. And I think counsel's been pretty clear that it's not. And, a party is afforded the opportunity to choose their poison and decide how they want to present a case and how they want to proceed with a case. Appellant has proceeded with the argument that, the holding in Bruzecca should be extended as opposed to seeking relief under Rule 9D2, and a party is allowed to determine its own strategy and how it wants to present a case. So, in that sense, I would view the de novo standard as appropriate, because Rule 9D2 is not being invoked by the party.
Can I ask just for explanatory purposes, do you think there's still a good faith, or excuse me, a discretionary standard under Rule 9, given the recent amendment that changed for good cause to, the court shall grant for good cause shown. Now it just says the court shall grant. You get in whether you're rejected 5 days, whether you're rejected or whether it's for technical reasons based on the system. It seems to me, maybe I'm not reading it right, that you've got 5 days to figure that out. And if you get in within the 5 days, the court shall grant the motion. Do you see a difference? And
I
then so
don't.
there, I guess then, and I'm really asking, would it then be de novo on our part, or is it still discretionary, given that the amended rule says shall?
So I think Justice Mullet, and first I want to be cautious. I'm not at all conceding that the current version of Rule 9 applies to this case. We're talking
An
in a
excellent
different world.
point. An excellent point. Thank you.
So I think, Justice Mullen, under the current version of Rule 9, the term good cause is deleted, and the rule states the court shall grant relief under Rule 9. So I think that removes a lot of the circuit court's discretion whether or not to grant the motion. But the rule does also include, I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the current version of the rule also contains a requirement that the initial rejected filing and then the refiling need to be effectively identical. So a party can't, just essentially file a placeholder document, get it rejected, and then have 5 more days to
But
file.
that's not really relevant to our case, is it?
No, I don't believe it is, Justice Holdridge, because in
Okay.
this case, that version of rule, Illinois Supreme Court Rule 9, did not go into effect until May of 2025. And
Thank
so,
you, counsel.
thank
Yeah,
you.
so that's not really to this case.
No, I think that's accurate, Justice Holdridge.
Okay.
So in this case, I do want to take a look very briefly at, what the circuit court did here in analyzing this under Rule 9D2. And the circuit court analyzed this. The Kilpatrick case tells us that when the circuit court is reviewing a request for relief under this version of Rule 9D2, they need to consider the totality of the circumstances. And, we if the parties came in on an agreed motion to include the transcript of the circuit court hearing on the motion. And so we have the court's own words, and the court tells us that they did consider the totality of the circumstances. The court considered the documents that were filed. The court considered the fact that the clerk's office in this case sent an email to the appellant essentially saying, hey, your ARDC number isn't registered. You need to fix this. And if you do, we'll accept the filing. And then several days went by without response. Then the clerk's office ultimately rejected the filing. So one of the things I think the circuit court was looking at in terms of good cause is, you know, were you given an opportunity to correct this and avoid the issue? And the circuit court said, you know, you were given that opportunity and you didn't take advantage of it. And that, you know, cuts against the idea that there's good cause here. And I think the circuit court was right to consider that. I think that's an appropriate consideration in whether or not good cause is being shown. So that being said, justices, I think ultimately in this case, you know, whether we view it as, you know, an extension of the definition of commence in Gruzeka, or it's viewed as a request for relief under Rule 9D2, I think even under the de novo standard of review, this court needs to affirm or should affirm the circuit court's findings here. Thank you, justices.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Schmitz from the court? No? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Lovato, you may reply.
Sure. Thank you, Your Honor. I briefly want to just address what was sort of counsel's, one of his main points that he kept saying that we're asking for an extension of the word commence. That's a mischaracterization of what we're asking. We're asking for it to be read as the way it is in Gruzeka, where commence is a little ambiguous. And effectively, we did commence when we provided proper notice, when we attempted to file again. I will concede that we did not properly abide by the King County local rule. However, I don't believe that takes us out of the world of commencing this appeal when, as counsel then mentioned, that these filings need to be effectively identical. They were not effectively identical. They were identical and just refiled once the IRDC registration number was registered. So I think that has to be taken into effect. Counsel talked about Kilpatrick and how the circuit court discussed the totality of the circumstances. I don't believe they looked at the totality of the circumstances based on our briefs without providing either of us a chance to expand further or ask questions or be discussed during an oral argument. They just ruled, the judge ruled from the bench. Had the totality of the circumstances been discussed again, I would have brought up the fact that, yes, the King County attempted to reach us by emails. I believe the original email was sent almost 4 or 5 days after September 23rd. And again, I did not receive that email because it went to a junk folder. Had I received it, we would have rectified that immediately. And as soon as it came to our attention that these filings were rejected for a reason, not knowing what that reason was until we called, we moved to rectify that as soon as possible. The last thing I want to say,
you had an opportunity to express your position in your written papers that you submitted to the court, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, and is there any, you know, I'm not aware of any rule that, you know, requires oral argument on motions in a trial court.
No, Your Honor, I'm not arguing that there should be or that we were required to have the argument, our argument. I'm responding to counsel's point regarding the totality of the circumstances. Is the issue as to whether that email was actually received was not raised until the judge ruled on that issue and discussed the totality of the circumstances.
So you're saying that you would, had you been in court, this could have been addressed, you're saying?
It could have been, and I understand, I'm sure your point of coming would be, well, it could have been addressed in the briefs, and you'd be correct. Had I foreseen that issue having been raised at all, I would have addressed it prior to any opportunity that may or may not have come at oral argument.
Yeah, well, I will say the great thing about the state courts is that unlike the federal courts, you actually get to appear in court and make an argument.
There's a lot of great things about the state court, but the federal court's on too. But we could spend much time on that, but that's not why we're here. And so to sort of close my argument here, I'll try to briefly put what it is. Again, the idea of prejudice still has not been raised by counsel. At no point does he say, "Hey, I'm prejudiced," if we allow the word commence to mean what it means in Gruseka and say this was commenced on the 23rd, not the 14th or the 10th, I believe, when it was accepted. The case law and the statutory law doesn't say accepted. It says commenced, and commenced has been read to be ambiguous. It also takes into questions of notice, which the employee plainly admits he has, questions of prejudice, which the employee at no point raises that he's being prejudiced in this matter. Again, I'm not asking for an extension of any statute. I'm asking for the statute to be read the way it has been under previous case law. Thank you, Your Honors.
Any questions from the court for Mr. Lovato? No? Okay. Thank you, counsel, both for your arguments in this matter this morning. It'll be taken under advisement. Written disposition shall issue in this matter. At this time, the clerk will escort you from our remote courtroom and we'll proceed to the next case.
Thank you, Your
Thank you,
Honors.
Justices.